We have a Christmas reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. At this time, I'll invite you to be seated as we continue with verse 1 of Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Our reading continues with verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had happened, or what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Here ends our reading. Well, beloved family of God, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of my very favorite parts of Christmas and the Christmas season is the music, the songs, the hymns of Christmas. And I would venture to guess we all have some of our favorites of the Christmas season, whether they're church songs or whether they're songs that we may hear on the radio, songs that get us in the spirit of the season. So I want you to think of your favorite song, and then on the count of three, I want you to say it out loud. Ready? One, two, three. Amazing. Yes. Wonderful songs, right? The good news, right, there's no wrong answer to this, except one year I did have a four-year-old sitting next to his grandma say, "Grandma got run over by a reindeer," and it caused some friction later on, right? My favorite, one of my favorites, I guess, the song that we sing is "Angels We Have Heard on High." It's a song we just finished singing because of the way so many of these songs do, but the way it tells the story that connect to Jesus' birth, right? And one image that I can just never shake when we hear that story read from Luke 2 is all the multitude of heavenly hosts, these choirs of angels announcing the birth of Jesus to those lowly shepherds in the middle of the night. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Glory to God and peace to all people. That is the Christmas message. That is the message that the angels, the messengers from God that Pastor Aaron talked about in with the children up here, that is the message they bring. That is the song that we sing on Christmas. Glory to God and peace to all people. But it's important to note that this is glory to a particular God, and it's a particular type of peace that comes to all people. Because another part of the Christmas story that Luke tells is Luke sets us firmly in the context of the Roman Empire. Right? It happened in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. The emperor of Rome sent a census decree. Luke notes that this was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. This sets us firmly rooted in this place. There are layers of power that are pressing down on God's people. It happened in those days that a song would come of glory and peace. And Caesar and Quirinius and all of those who were in power, they were also singing a song of glory and peace, but it looked a little different than the song that the angels sang. They would cry glory to Caesar. After all, he considered himself, one of the names that he granted himself, the titles that he gave himself, was Son of God. And the kind of peace that came from Rome was a peace that was accomplished through horrible violence. Rome's philosophy, their strategy to preserve peace, was you just get rid of anyone who said otherwise. It's effective, but not particularly peaceful. I think this is the difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Peacekeeping is a kind of defensive posture. Peacekeeping uses the threat of force to keep those who are in power, to keep those who are in the palace warm, mighty king, to keep them comfortable. Peacekeeping says, don't rock the boat. Don't shift things too much. Peacemaking is an invitation to something completely different. Peacemaking cultivates or nurtures things that bring the wholeness to all of God's creation. It can be easy for us to confuse comfort with peace, right? But the peace of God that's born into our world on Christmas, the peace that the angels announce, shows up not with power or force, but with humility and love. So a woman named Oshita Moore, she's a pastor and an organizer down in the Minneapolis area, and she writes about the difference between these two types of peace. And she says that peacemakers resist peacekeeping that's rooted in anxiety, and instead choose peacemaking that is rooted in a posture of love. She says, in peacemaking, we ask ourselves what we are for instead of what we are against. And we stop seeing people as enemies. There's an element of peacekeeping that's always on the lookout for a threat, that's always ready for a fight. That is not the peace that the angels bring to the shepherds on Christmas. That's not what we as a church or we as followers of Jesus are called to. Instead, we choose to be as faithful and steadfast as we can about glorifying God and working with one another, serving with one another in ways that make for peace here in our community and around the world. And the peace that we seek, the peace that the angels announce and that Jesus brings, it's about ensuring people have what they need to grow into the fullness of who God made them to be. That's the kind of peace that we seek to make. Peace where we listen for the cries of people who are suffering and do what we can where we are with what we have in order to help ease that suffering. Tonight, we're going to pass the plate to receive our offering. It's something we aren't in the habit of doing anymore, coming out of the pandemic necessarily, but one of the things that we value is glorifying God and doing things that can promote peace on earth. And so all of the loose offering we collect tonight is being given away to three ministries in particular. And there are three ministries that we believe actively glorify God and do sustainable peacemaking work in our community and around the world. I don't know if you have heard of Love in the Name of Christ. They're a ministry that does incredible work here in Otter Tail County, around Minnesota, really. But it walks alongside people who are experiencing immediate or long-term need in any way and serves them because we believe serving people brings glory to God and peace to people here on earth. Our backpack program at the schools help young people and families who may not have available funds to buy enough food for the family. And so each week, especially over holidays like Christmas break, volunteers pack bags of food that help feed them and their families for days when they're at home. Lutheran Disaster Response is another ministry that partners with local aid organizations whenever disaster strikes, earthquakes, floods, storms of any kinds, famines, droughts. They're usually one of the first on the ground and the last people to leave, helping people bring meaningful and lasting change to communities in need. And we wanted you to know about them and the work they do because they do really good work. And we love partnering with them, especially in these seasons where need can be high. It can be easy to look out at the world and be overwhelmed by the grief and by things happening in the world. It can be easy to read the headlines and just be sick about the things that are happening in our world. And when we look around at where to start in our peacemaking mission, it can be daunting. It can be hard to know where to start. There's a quote I love that's attributed to a commentary on the Hebrew Scriptures. And it says, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of this world's grief." Do not be daunted by the enormity of this world's grief. Do justly now, love mercy now, walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. I love that. I love that call to us, that encouragement not to be daunted by the enormity of this world's grief. Because when we look out, it can be daunting. But this is what we're called to as peacemakers. This is what we're called to do because we are Christmas people. Christmas is about our God coming near in gracious and unexpected ways to make all of creation whole. And our heartbeat as Christmas people, the rhythm of our lives is exactly what the whole choir of angels, the whole heavenly host sing. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to all of God's people on earth. Thanks be to God, and Merry Christmas. Amen.